In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Several people this week have asked me many questions about the extraordinary reform, and the priest thought it would be a good thing to do to give you a little bit of another deeper understanding, perhaps of the mystical theology as it pertains to the ceremonies of the reform of the Roman Rite. Of course, before Mass begins, there are many preparations done. The priest goes to the sacristy to vest. He puts on the vestments and prepares to sacrifice the sacrifice for Mass. And this should remind us of our Lord going to vest, if you will, in humanity, the womb of our Lady. As the priest processes to the altar, he's surrounded by the deacon, some deacon, and many servers. This reminds us that Christ is also surrounded at his birth by Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and by the regalers. And of course, Christ's entrance into the world was met with hostility. The murderous threats of Herod. And so the priest's entrance into the church is met with hostility, not of the Christians, I hope, but rather the violence of the evil spirits through which we war against what goes wrong on this holy altar. And as Christ comes to the foot, as the priest comes to the foot of the altar, think of this as the garden of Gethsemane. Christ goes to Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John to pray. To pray before they go to Calvary. And so the priest, the deacon, the subdeacon go to the foot of the altar, another Gethsemane, to pray for strength before offering the holy sacrifice. As the Lord bends to pray in the garden of Gethsemane, Scripture tells us that he sweat drops of blood. Why? Because he saw and felt deeply every sin of every person who would ever live. And as Christ prays, those drops of blood form almost rosary beads, forming the first rosary of redemption. So the priest bends profoundly and confesses his own sinfulness, his own unworthiness to offer the sacrifice. And just as an angel came to strengthen Christ in Gethsemane, so the angels, a multitude of angels, surrounds the holy altar to strengthen the priest as he offers them. As the priest ascends the altar, he is surrounded by men who crowd out to him. He intends to give worship to God to offer the incense of adoration that he is constrained. And so you see the deacon and some deacon at the incensation of the altar holding the vestments of the priest. It reminds us how Christ was apprehended by the men in the garden of Gethsemane, held and led out. They take him to Pilate when he was offering his incense of prayer and adoration for his father in the garden. As the priest cries out, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, he's praying for the salvation of sinners, begging for mercy. Well, this imitates the Lord, who in his little Bethlehem crib cried out like all babies do, but unlike babies who cry out for their own hunger and wants and selfish desires, the Christ child in his crib cried out not for himself, but for sinners. Kyrie. As Jesus was born in Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem, he journeyed further south into Egypt to flee from the wicked Herod. And so the subdeacon form, there was also the offertory procession, slightly different than the one you're familiar with in the ordinary form. The faithful would bring the hosts, the wine, and the epistle quarter. You know this from testimony of the master of ceremonies of the Holy Father in the 1300s. He tells us in a report. The faithful bring their gift to the altar and the epistle quarter, and the priest gives them a blessing, and they kiss the end of the manacle, the vesture that is worn on the left arm of the priest. And I wonder if he ever asked them, as the priest did in the Old Testament, do you love this? Is it a sacrifice? And as the Jewish temple priest offered the lamb of Passover, he would raise it up, then lower it, and then make the sign of the cross with it, towards the east, west, north, and south. And so in Mass, in extraordinary form, the priest offers the host, the lamb, as the Byzantine Catholics call it, the wine in the same gesture. And as the priest is about to enter into the sacrifice, he turns to the people and asks their support, their prayers, and he says, Orate fratres, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and that your sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. In antiquity, a curtain would be drawn here, a holy canopy would be hovering over the altar, and the curtains would now enclose and veil the altar, just as still as done in the Byzantine Rite with the royal doors of the iconostasis are closed. And from here the priest is hidden, and he becomes inaudible. Only seven times from here to the consummation of the sacrifice does the priest raise his voice. Why? Seven times, because the Christ on the cross only speaks his seven last words. And finally, as that sacrifice is consummated, the priest turns to you, like John the Baptist who calls it, Etiagos Dei, behold the Lamb of God. And as Peter denied Christ three times, how many times have we denied him? We have three chances, like Peter, to show and to affirm our own unworthiness, our love, our trust and confidence in our beloved Savior as we pray out to dominate amongst the Jews. Three times. We proclaim with the centurion to beat his breast as he left Calvary, I am not worthy. But yet, this is truly the Son of God. Your company of Jesus and Mary, as we enter today into this holy sacrifice, surrounded by our beloved dead, the souls in purgatory, especially the deceased members of the Church Music Association, for whom today's Mass is offered, we resolve frequently to pray for the dead, have Mass offered to them, after the example of the saints. For a compelling example of this, we turn to Padre Pio, Saint Pio. He told this story once to one of the brothers, Anastasia. Father Pio says, one evening, while I was alone in choir praying, I heard the rustle of suits, clothes, and I saw one of the young monks that stirred up by the high altar. Seeing that the young monk was dusting the candelabra, straightening the vases of the flowers, and I thought it was Padre Leon, rearranging the altar. But it was summertime, so I went to him and I told him, Father, you already go dying. This is not the time to dust and straighten the altar. But a voice that was not Father Leone's answered me, I am not Padre Leone. Father Pio said, who are you? I am the brother of yours that made the novitiate here, who was ordered to clean the altar during my year of novitiate. Many times I failed to reverence Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, passing in front of the altar, and therefore I caused the sacrament that was preserved in the tabernacle to be disrespected. For this serious carelessness, I am still in purgatory. Now God, with his endless goodness, sent me here so that you may quicken the time I will enjoy in paradise. So Father Pio, please take care. Padre Pio wanted to be generous to that son. suffering soul this week said to him, "Tomorrow morning I will offer mass for you, and you will be in paradise." And how did the soul cry for reply? He cried out in one word, "Cruel. Cruel." The soul wept and disappeared. God reveals it that this complaint produced in him and his soul a wound that he felt his whole life, because he realized that if he had walked into Mass even that very evening for that soul, that he would have gone to heaven in that very night. My dear friends in Christ, we can learn from this amazing story several lessons. First, we learn the importance of reverencing the most blessed sacrament, presence in the sacrament. And that poor soul in purgatory, making reparation God for his lack of reverence before our Lord in the most blessed sacrament. Perhaps it seems to us a trivial offense. But this story reveals the truth. Even our negligences, we have to make atonement for. Secondly, we see the importance of offering prayers and sacrifices for the souls in purgatory, especially the sacrifice of Mass. And understand